This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings this morning, and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in, and as per usual, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. Remember, this program can be re-listened to on the website, and my website has a weekly meditation that you can read there. You can contact me through either regular mail or through the website if you have comments or if you have prayer requests. So I'll give you those addresses then at the close of the program. Today I want to continue with our journey through Genesis. And last time we looked at the cost of sin with regard to the broken relationship that occurred between Adam and Eve and God. They had walked with God in the garden. They had open communion with him. And because of one sin, because they had partaken of that one, the fruit of that one tree, they lost the privileges of the Garden of Eden. So we'll pick up the story at Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Now, I would take it that the tree of life is at least symbolic of the cross of Calvary, because our life is in the death of Christ. Our eternal life is in the death of Christ. However, this was physical life, and so there was probably a literal tree that if they ate of, they would be able to live forever. Doctors need to find that tree, don't they? And they need to reproduce that fruit, because that's not the way we live today. But because Adam and Eve sinned, because Eve was deceived by Satan, and yes, she was deceived by Satan, and because Adam loved his wife and was willing to be cast out of the garden with her rather than lose her, because of that, it has set in motion a chain of events which is costing us to this day. When you pick up the newspaper, you read about the shootings, you read about the killings, you read about the accidents, you read about the problems, and I know that there is good news in the world today. There is compassion. But generally, the compassion is shown toward people who have been affected by sin. It's shown toward the homeless. It's shown toward the penniless. It's shown toward those who have mental illness. It's shown toward people who have been shot up in war. While there is good news, it's all seemingly associated with compassion for those who have been affected by the bad news. We often say the gospel is bad news for the good, but it's good news for the bad. And fortunately, if we understand that because sin came into the world and we have the nature of sin, and we sin because we have that nature of sin, we would understand that for us, the gospel is good news. I hope nobody here thinks that they are so good that they can get to heaven based on their good works, because all of us have sin in our hearts, and God knows our hearts. So there was a relationship that was broken with God, and that relationship can only be restored when the sin has been dealt with. And we noted last time that Adam and Eve both confessed their sin, and after they confessed their sin to the Lord, they were clothed with skins of animals. They were originally clothing themselves with fig leaves, and that's again a picture of the way we want to approach God. We want to cover ourselves with something that we think is beautiful and that God will accept, but God says, no, I'll provide your clothes for you. I'll clothe you with a robe of righteousness, but that robe of righteousness involved the slaying of an animal. But God did clothe them, and then we come to this point where they were cast out of the garden, never to return. And so we see that there was a great cost with regard to sin. People think that sin doesn't matter, and sometimes it doesn't matter to our friends, and sometimes it doesn't matter to our relatives, and it may not matter to our government, but it matters to God. And so they were forced out of the garden, and now death had come into the world. And now I want to read from Genesis 4, another of the real costs associated with this one mistake that they made, and the cost was in their family. Genesis 4, verse 4, Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and God respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And if you read this, Cain was a farmer, and brought of the he brought the things that he had raised in the field. Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." That's a verse that is translated in a number of different ways and is a bit hard to understand, perhaps. But I think what the Lord is saying is, if you do well, I'll accept you. And doing well is offering the kind of offering, worshiping me the way I want to be worshiped. That is, do what your brother was willing to do. If you do not well, sin lies at the door. And that's the case. If we do not well, sin always is wanting to take control of us. And I think that may be the idea here. Sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you. But you should rule over it. In other words, if you will believe what I have said, and if you'll do what I've asked you to do, you can rule over the sin that desires to have you. But nevertheless, sin is controls us, and sin is mean, and sin has consequences, and yet we think sometimes that sin is not consequential. So Cain talked with Abel and his brother, and it came to pass when they're in the field, Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. So now, as a result of what happened in the garden, there's murder in the family. And the Lord knew exactly what Cain did, and he said, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And I want to stop there for a moment, because yes, we are our brother's keeper. We do have responsibility for our brother. One of those responsibilities is seen in this radio program. We constantly preach how a person can be right with God. If you had cancer and I had the cure, I would tell you, you have another problem, which is called sin, and God has the solution for sin. We have a book that's like a PDA. It's a physician's desk reference, or PDR, a physician's desk reference, and it tells us what the solution for sin is, and the solution is found at the cross of Calvary. And if I didn't warn people about this problem of sin, if I didn't warn them about punishment for sin, I would not love them. And yes, I am my brother's keeper, just as the gospel was presented to me when I received it and believed it. I then wanted to share it with others because it's the solution for sin. It isn't going to mean that this life is going to always be downhill and the wind's not always going to be at our back. We're still going to have to deal with the thorns and thistles that arise because of the curse that has been placed on this earth, but we now have a solution. And yes, we are our brother's keeper, not only in the spiritual sense where we need to preach the gospel plainly so that others can enjoy the same salvation that we enjoy, but we are our brother's keeper in that we need to help those who are less fortunate than ourselves. We need to quit hating one another, and we need to start loving one another, but that will only happen when our attitudes are changed and we become a new creature in Christ through the new birth. This world has a lot of hate, and for no good reason. Why should Abel have been hated by Cain? Abel had done what God asked. He brought an animal. He offered it to God as a sacrifice, and Cain saw that and resented Abel because he had done a lot of work too, and he had brought of the fruit of the ground. And surely the fruit of the ground, those nice tomatoes, those nice strawberries, those nice raspberries, those beautiful carrots, they had cost him something. Shouldn't they have been accepted? But his problem was not with Abel. His problem was with God. And we don't understand that. And so today there's all kinds of friction between religious groups of people because of the fact that we have never dealt properly with our sin and with our relationship with God. And I want you to understand, as my brother's keeper, that I am convinced that there is only one way to satisfy God. There's only one way to heaven, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so Cain could easily have said, "Well, if Abel's sacrifice was accepted and mine was not, then I'll do what Abel did. I thought this would be good enough, but it wasn't. I'll do what Abel did." But no, instead he rebels and he kills the one person who had made God happy. Where is Abel, your brother? I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the answer to that is yes. And then God takes Cain and he says, "Now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth." And Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." I know that people think that when we talk about God punishing sin, that we're just whistling Dixie, that we're spitting into the wind, that there's going to be no punishment after death. But God says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, after that death, there is punishment. It is appointed unto man, we only get to die once, and we have only this life to prepare for that death. After death comes the judgment, comes the punishment. And yes, there is punishment. And the reason I believe there's punishment is because Christ went through the agony of the cross to save us from it. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that we would all be saved. And friend, that's what he wants to do for you today. And I hope that if you're a Cain and resenting the Abels that seem to be worshiping in the right way, even though in your mind it might be in a narrow way, I hope you'll change your mind and come to Christ and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, so that one day when you stand before God and are cast into the lake of fire, you won't have to say, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." If Cain's punishment, which was a punishment on this earth temporally, was greater than he could bear, what will eternal punishment be for those who could have been saved, but turned their back on the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord, we come to thee and pray that this solemn message will speak to any in our audience that are still not saved. We pray for thy blessing upon our listeners and upon the program. We thank thee for thy love. In our Savior's name, amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.